Welcome to KathleenWhitten.org. We believe that Kathleen's message will inspire you, encourage you, and give you a fresh perspective on life. Now, here's Kathleen.
Superhero. And that is so much less than what God really is. I mean, I realized that my prayers have gotten so much lower in the expectation and faith that I should have in God. We should have a Luke 1:37, all things are possible with God expectation all the time. And in going through different things physically that some of you know about, some medical situations and things that I've been through, you know, leukemia and things that have happened with my back and all sorts of things, and having gone to different doctors lately, and sometimes you can feel overwhelmed. You can feel just like, I don't even know how God's going to handle all this when I get to be 80 years old. How's he going to handle all this? If I'm already going through this at age 38, what's it going to be like when I'm 80? And you may think that now, too, with your finances or your marriage or your family or your children. If I'm already overwhelmed now, what's it going to be like when there's just one more thing added to that? How am I going to handle it? And see, I've made God into like a superhero, like, well, God, you know, I'm going to do the best I can, and you just be my superhero, and we'll make it together. And the great news is that that's making God less than who he is. We serve a God that calls those things that are not as though they were. He is the creator. He can recreate. He can create bone where there is no bone. He can create love where there is no love. He restores. He does the impossible. And so many of us need, let me rephrase that, all of us desperately need God's miracle. Otherwise, we're going to be going through the motions on this earth. And we may have some good times here and there, but we will not have that peace and joy that God says that we can have. We will not have that abundant life. We will not have freedom from depression and oppression and worry and anxiety. We won't have it unless we know how to make God that peace that surpasses all understanding. Unless we know that he is more than a superhero. He is the God that created the leaves that fall on the ground, that created our DNA, that created the solar system and beyond. Because see, we just don't even know where we even are in this world of worlds of worlds of worlds of heavens of worlds. Do we? See, we think we know so much. And even in my prayers have gotten to be like, God, you know, here's what I would just kind of hope you might do. Instead of, you're God. Defy statistics. You are God. Bring my heart to a place of hope and joy. You are God. Even in the midst of all that I'm going through, in the midst of all you're going through, let him be God. That's what he wants to be. And so in saying that, one of the things that has been going through my mind and living on this earth and hearing the start of Christmas carols. And yes, it is Christmas and not Happy Holidays. It's Christmas to me. I wish that we could change it instead of Merry Christmas, just to change it to Merry Christmas. Spanish for Christ more. And so hearing these Christmas carols, you know, about the glory of God, I thought, you know, what if we ask God, today, of 2005. Show us your glory. Show us your glory, God. Show us who you are. Who is your glory? Show it to us today. What is the glory of God? And if we prayed right now, would we be expecting, you know, lightning bolts to come down? Many times you can feel the Spirit moving in your heart. Is that what we say is the glory of God? Is the glory of God to receive a miracle right here, right now, right where you sit? Is that the glory of God? What would we expect? Would we expect to hear angels? What is the glory of God? And we need to know what it is, because our purpose on this life, in this life, is to glorify God. What is that? I love it when I can find what I'm looking for in the Word, because that's the only way that I know that it's the truth, because Jesus is the Word. He's the Logos Word of God, and He says that He is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Moses asked God the same question. He said, God, now show me your glory. In Exodus 33, Moses said, God, now show me your glory. And what's interesting about that word now is that, in my mind, God had already shown him his glory. He had turned the Nile into blood. He had gotten his people out of Egypt. He had parted the Red Sea. He turned Moses' staff into a snake. I mean, he'd shown him his miracles in his hand. I mean, Moses came back to God because a bush was burning and speaking to him. Isn't that the glory? But yet Moses goes up on the top of the mountain and says, now show me your glory. And in the Word of God, it says how God answers to Moses. In Exodus 33, verse 18, Moses says, now show me your glory. And then in Exodus 34, verses 5 and 6, it says that God shows him his glory. He passes before Moses in a cloud, and he says this. He passes before Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. What is God's glory? God's glory is His mercy. It's His mercy. It's His mercy. See, so often we're waiting on a miracle, we're waiting on deliverance, we're waiting on change, we're waiting on all these things. And in the next couple Sundays, I just want to show you what God's shown me and proven in my life, that if I will walk in the mercy of God, all of those things will follow me. And the Word says that they will. I'll show you two scriptures where the Word of God says that it will. I want you to think about something. When Moses came down from that mountain, he was so glowing with the glory, the mercy of God. He was glowing. He was lit up with the mercy of God that the people could not even look upon his face. They had to wear veils over his face, over their faces, because they could not even look upon the brightness of the glory that shone on Moses. They had to wear a veil. And after looking at this, in studying this, I realized the mercy of God is Jesus Christ. And Jesus had not yet come. He was veiled to the people. They could not see Him. They could not see the glory of God. He was still veiled. They could not fully see, because mercy through Jesus, the one-time sacrifice for our sins, had not yet come. He was veiled. When Jesus died on the cross, at 12 noon, the sky turned dark, pitch black, and it was finished. But something happened in the temple. Veil the very first time, the people of God could see with their very own eyes the mercy seat of God. For the very first time, they could go there themselves because there was no veil. The glory of God is the mercy of God. It's the one thing that angels can't even understand. If you read and study the book of Hebrews, angels don't even understand the salvation of man. It's the one thing, obviously, that the enemy cannot understand. And all of the demons, the third of the angels that came and fell with angel Lucifer, the angel of light, cannot understand the mercy and the glory of God. Otherwise, they would have never gone with Lucifer. There is mercy that is so powerful and so miraculous. It's not a little bitty squeaky mouse word. You know, mercy is usually something that when one of our older brothers or sisters wrestled us to the ground and put our arm behind our back until we couldn't even breathe, and finally, you know, you've elbowed them, you've done everything you know how to do, you try to poke them in the eyes, you make sure your parents aren't looking, you try every dirty trick in the book, and then finally you go, "Mercy!" It's so much greater than that. Mercy is the most powerful, miraculous thing that God offers. And we are put on this earth to glorify Him. And glorifying God means offering mercy and receiving mercy. There's a miracle in mercy. There's a miracle in mercy. So Moses says, "Show me your glory, God." And God passes before him in this cloud and says, "I am the Lord merciful." His first description of himself. God's first description of himself to Moses is, "I am the Lord merciful." That's who I am. And yet you can't see it now. You people can't see it yet now because my son has not come to fully reveal and unveil to you my glory, but you will. And we're living in a generation where it has been unveiled. It has been revealed. It is the mercy of God that shows the true face of God. I think it's very incredible that we serve a God, the only God, the true God, whose mercy is not something we have to earn or doubt. It's been completely unveiled to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. The truth is unveiled to us when we receive Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 3, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters of stone," that's the law, "which came with glory, so the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away." 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Whenever we turn to Jesus Christ, because He is the manifest glory of God, the veil is taken away. And in my own life, the areas that are still veiled to me, the areas that are still dark to me, the areas that are still confusing to me, the areas that are still bringing me oppression or depression, are the areas in my life where I have not turned to Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:16, "Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." What is the veil? The veil is the inability to see God's mercy. It's the inability to see the mercy of God. And if we can't see it, we can't receive it. And if we can't receive it, we can't give it away. Because you can't give away something you don't have. You can want to. You can want to, but you can't. That's why it's not selfish on an airplane to put the oxygen mask on first and then put it on the other children or the people around you or the people that are frail or weak. Our natural inclination is to put it on everyone else around us. Okay, is everyone okay? Now I'll put it on me. But see, what the stewardess knows, I told you all, I always want to be a stewardess. Because you get your nails done for free. It's a good reason. What the stewardess knows is that if you don't have oxygen, you can't help anybody else around you. If you don't have God's mercy, if you don't even know what God's mercy is and you are not unveiled to know and see and receive the mercy and glory of God, you cannot give it away and you cannot glorify God in your life. And you may receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and go to heaven, and that's great, but you would not be all that God called you to be and all that He knew that you could be. God's glory is His mercy. I love Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 because it says that God's mercy is new every morning. And it says that if it wasn't, that our hearts would just fail. What if we thought God's mercy was just offered just one time? I would be in a wreck because, see, I need God's mercy every single morning. I think of that scripture every single day and I thank God that His mercies are new every morning. What He means by that is receive His mercies new. Don't depend on the mercies of the past. Receive the glory of God for yourself new every morning. We need to do that spiritually as much as we do it physically. When Maddie was a little girl, I remember just having a super, super busy week, and probably none of you all have done this, but I tend to just tell you all these totally ridiculous things that I do for some reason. I don't know why. It's good that I go home and forget what I tell you. Otherwise, I'd probably be embarrassed all the time. But I remember just having a really busy week, and it was just really hectic, and it was when I was running Campus Drive, and I had teenagers all over my house, and I was doing all these things, and I remember just looking at Maddie one night, and it's like she had kind of like stuff on her neck, and kind of dirt, and stuff under her nails, and I just looked at her, and I don't know how old she was. She's pretty little, and I remember saying, when was the last time we baked? And she goes, I don't know. I said, well, let's think about this. And I thought, was it last night? No. Night before? No. The night before that? No. She goes, it didn't matter. She said, I baked last week. And I thought, that is just stinky. That's terrible. I can't believe that I let her go a week. Or whatever it was. Probably wasn't a whole week, but it didn't take long for kids to get pretty dirty. And yet, scripturally speaking, we are to be bathed in the mercies of God every single day or we start to stink. And we cover it up. Just like you cover it up if you hadn't bathed in a week. We spray on our happy smile. We spray on our, how are you, I'm fine, just fine, how are you. But we're not fine. And our heart can stink and we can feel dirty. We need to know that the mercy of God showers us and cleans us and makes us new every morning, that God's mercies are new. And we need to know that God's forgiveness is new. Because if we can't receive that for ourselves, we can't give it away. And if we can't give it away, we can't glorify God in our lives. The most unmerciful people you will ever meet in your life cannot receive mercy from God for themselves. The most merciful people you'll ever meet in your life are the ones who can wake up in the morning and say, I really messed up about 12 hours ago. But God's mercies, praise God, are new every morning. I thank God that He revealed His Son, Jesus Christ, to me and that I can start over new and fresh today. As a new creature, recreated to do those works that were preordained and written in the book, that I might walk in them, the book of Ephesians says. So part of receiving God's mercy is forgetting. God's mercy means that I've got to forget. I need to not only forget the things that I've done, I need to forget the things that other people have done. That is huge if I want to glorify God in my life. I have to forget. Because God says in His Word 4, if not 5 times, Isaiah 43:25, Jeremiah 31:34, Hebrews 8:12, Hebrews 8:17, He says when He forgives our sins, which is when we go to Him and say, please, Father, forgive my sins in Jesus' name. When He forgives our sins, He remembers them no more. In other words, part of God's mercy is that He forgets. And so if I want to glorify God in my life, I've got to forget the things that I've done, and I've also got to forget the things that you might have done to me or someone else might have done to me if I want to glorify God in my life. Forgetting. Have you forgotten? I know God's given Lacey and I a lot of grace to share things that He just asked, to share things that we pray will be meaningful to you. Because I think sometimes until we make something personal, until we really, really, really apply it, and until maybe there's an open door of realness and rawness, then maybe it doesn't get to the deeper places in our heart. And I remember that Lacey had done something before we were married that was affecting me after we were married, and he'd asked for forgiveness. And yet every 2 or 3 years in certain situations, I thought I'd forgiven him, but I just bring it back up. Just every 2 or 3 years. I remember he said something to me significant one time that I will never forget. And he said, Kathleen, I asked God forgiveness for that, and I asked your forgiveness for that. And God has forgotten, and I have forgotten. You're the one with the problem. I said, you're right. You are right. I'm sure it took me a while to say that, but mercy means forget. It means forget. If you want to glorify God in your life, forget what you have done after you've asked for forgiveness. And forget what has been done to you after you have forgiven. One of the things when we did that whole series on forgiving last year, which was kind of a hoot, by the way, because I thought it was going to be like this 6-week series or something, and it ended up being some kind of a 12-week series. And I remember getting on my knees one morning and going, God, please change, help these people's hearts. Why are we still on forgiveness? And He's like, oh, this is for you. I was like, oh. They're fine, you know. They're just out there to sort of encourage you. They don't need it, too. I'm sure that's not true either. I'm being silly, but I remember going, God, you know, I want to glorify you in my life. I want to walk in your glory. I want to walk in your mercy. And I know your word says that I have to forget, but it's so hard. How do I forget? And God said, how do you remember? I said, I repeat things. He said, exactly. You want to forget, you have to stop talking about it. And it's going to hurt. Because you're going to find that perfect situation with that perfect person that would perfectly understand how hurt you were. And you can empathize and sympathize. And you're going to want to say it all again, even though you've already forgiven. But it just feels good to be understood. And then you're going to wonder, why can I not forget? We have to quit repeating it. Mercy means forgetting. And forgetting is what gives us the liberty to change. Did you know that mercy, God's glory, gives us the liberty to change? The Word of God in 2 Corinthians 3 says that we are changed from glory to glory. Probably a lot of you have heard that and quoted that and read that and thought about that scripture. We are changed from glory to glory, but realizing that the glory of God is the mercy of God, we are changed from mercy to mercy. I am changed by God's mercy. Rarely have I been changed Matter of fact, I can't even think of a time when I've received judgment and harshness and a closed heart from someone that hasn't changed me. It's when God has unveiled to me His great mercy, that I am changed from glory to glory, from mercy to mercy. I am changed and I grow, and you change and you grow from mercy to mercy. It's exactly what it means to fail forward, to receive the mercy of God and to say, I'm stepping forward with that instead of stepping back. I change from glory to glory, from mercy to mercy. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18 says, now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. There is room to twirl around. And I'm not talking about necessarily being charismatic or overly demonstrative. That may be your personality. It may not. I'm saying where you don't feel trapped, where you don't feel down, where you don't feel closed in, where you don't feel judged, where you don't feel oppressed. Where you're free, where you can breathe, where you can trust God, where you're not looking at your past to determine your future, but you're looking at your Father to determine your future. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, but we all, with open face, what does open face mean? Not veiled. With open face, beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, from mercy to mercy, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And then 2 Corinthians 4:1 says something so significant. It tells us how on this earth we can avoid losing heart. Have you ever just felt like you're just losing heart? Like you're just losing heart. I'm like, God, you know, what's the point? But the Word of God tells us clearly what it is that will keep us from ever, ever losing heart. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. You know what can keep you going when everything else seems to be going in the wrong direction? Knowing that you have a ministry to glorify God on this earth and to show His mercy in your life. And to let His mercy come into your life so that you can give it away. That's how we don't lose heart, because His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness, the Scripture says. They are new every morning, so I don't lose heart. You know, sometimes when I think about the stuff that I've repeated, or I said I wanted to change, and I thought I was going to change, and I didn't change, or I wake up in the morning, it's going to be a great day, and, you know, and yet everything goes wrong with the family, and you know how it happens. You're like, gosh, I was getting along so well with myself until I had to be with y'all. And then you get into this kind of, and I'm talking about even on a good day where things are going okay. It's not like anyone has said, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, we have to, you know, amputate your earlobes. I mean, it's just kind of just one of those days where you're like, everything was going to be fine until your family started acting like they always act, which drives you crazy, and they're never appreciative, and they, yeah, I can't forget, but they can't. And then you're like, well, what's going to keep me from losing hope? When I've planned an amazing Thanksgiving, and I've dreamed about it, and thought about it, and prayed about it, and if everybody gets together and acts like, what keeps me from losing hope is my ministry of mercy that God's given to me and to you to glorify Him. That when I walk in the mercy of God, out comes the glory of God. And then He does those miracles and those changes in the people around me and in my own heart that I could never, ever do, that I couldn't even express. He does it. Because His mercy is His glory. His mercy is His glory. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, even if our gospel is veiled, kind of an interesting theme we're running here, isn't it? It is veiled to those who are perishing. The God, little g, Satan of this age, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The mercy of God is veiled by the enemy. It's veiled. It's the glory of God that is veiled. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan, the god of this age, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God said, let light shine out in the darkness, and made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ? God's mercy. And why are unbelievers' eyes veiled? They're veiled by the God, Satan of this world. But how is he able to do that? When we carry this light within us, this little light of mine, remember that song? I'm going to let it shine. I'll tell you how the God of this world, Satan, little g God, has veiled the eyes of unbelievers is because God's people are not shining the mercy of God. We're not receiving it for ourselves, and we're not giving it away. The mercy of God is forgiving and loving people when they don't deserve it. Mercy is not receiving from God what you deserve. That's mercy. Mercy is not receiving from someone the punishment that you deserve. That's mercy. Can you imagine what it would be like if even just the people in this room left and began to receive the mercy of God? The people that are hearing this CD or hearing this on radio or wherever just started for themselves to receive the mercy of God and then started to give it away. Can you imagine the power in that? Can you imagine how many veils would be lifted to, oh, gosh, this is the real thing then. Well, they act differently. And it's not an act. It's a heart thing. It's a, I can't put my finger on it. It's merciful. It's, I don't deserve it, you know. The way that person treats me. I would deserve maybe your wrath might be something that someone might say had they done something to greatly hurt you. And yet you have so received the mercy of God for yourself that you're overflowing enough to give it away. That is what will show people Jesus. And it's showing people Jesus that glorifies God. It's showing Jesus. You know, I think about Paul. And I've told you all this before. I think it's just, it may just be my honesty. It may be a combination of my honesty and my immaturity. But I'm not real sure I would have liked Paul that much if I'd known him. I mean, he was just a brilliant, brilliant man. And extremely well-read and articulate and just amazing. I don't think he dated much, but he never married. He said he just thought, you know, y'all probably shouldn't marry unless you can't control yourselves, Paul, you know. But here's this man who I admire. You know, it's like I love him. I've grown into this appreciation for this man because he had such a fervor for God. And he was going 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. And he was killing Christians, thinking he was doing God's service. And then God did something very interesting. The Spirit of Jesus blinded him. Why did Paul get blind? I mean, here comes the Spirit of Jesus to say, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul is blind. Could it be that he could not see at that time the mercy of God? And And then when he was able to see again, his eyes were opened, and the people of God received him and gave him mercy because he had killed their friends. And they took him in, and they called him brother, and they let him change. Paul, who wrote two-thirds of our New Testament, said this: there's one thing I do. I have to think about that, and I think, you know, here is a man filled with the Spirit of God who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, and he says, there's one thing I do. I better sit up, take notice, get a pen out, and write it down, and never forget it. And he says this: there is one thing I do. Forgetting. That's it. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, could it be that Paul, who had so much of the glory of God in his life and glorified God in his life and changed the world and is still changing the world, and who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament and who received the mercy of God, gave out the mercy of God because there's one thing that he did. He forgot. He said, I forget. There's one thing I do. Forgetting that which lies behind in order to reach towards the future of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Mercy means we have to forget. This morning, if you need to ask God for forgiveness, do it, but then forget it. If you need to forgive someone else, do it, but then stop repeating what they did. If you want to show the mercy of God to the world, if you want their eyes unblinded, unveiled to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to who God really is, give mercy and forget. And what we're going to be talking about is that that not only unleashes an amazing amount of love and clarity and light into other people's lives, but it leaves God the room that he so desires to move in the miraculous realm into our lives, body, soul, and spirit, to the very core, to your very DNA, to every part of you, the mercy of God, to every relationship you have, to every part of your heart and dream, to everything that's within you. Why do you not lose hope? Because of the mercy of God. Show me your mercy, Moses said. And God said, I am the Lord, merciful. Merciful. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your glory. We thank you that in this season we can glorify your name and lift you up. And Lord, there is nothing that we want more than to glorify you in our lives. Lord Jesus, please teach us to be merciful towards ourselves. Merciful to receive your forgiveness and to forget those things that are behind. Reaching for those things that are in front of us to the upward call of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, let us extend your mercy to our family, to those around us, that we should be loving and not judging, that we should be comforting and not condemning. And God, forgive us in Jesus' name for doing that, and let us forget that we have. And Father, let us extend mercy to the world, to the people around us that absolutely do not deserve our forgiveness in any way. We pray right now for that person or those persons. Because of your great love and forgiveness for us, Jesus, because of you, we forgive them. Help us to not repeat the offense so that we can forget and we can offer continual mercy. I pray right now in the name of Jesus for anyone who's in a position where they are going to have God's miraculous power to offer continual mercy every single day. I thank you, Father, that it would not be from their own strength. It would not be from their own mind. It would not be from their own goodness, but it be out of the immense depth of your love and your miraculous power. And I ask that they would have joy and peace, and that you would bless them as they choose to glorify you on this earth. We love you and we praise you. We honor you. We desire to learn more about your glory, your mercy, so that you can do all that you want us to, all that you want us to be.
We hope that you've enjoyed Kathleen's message. To order a copy of this and other messages, please call us in San Antonio, Texas at 210-822-5500 or toll free outside the San Antonio area, 877-397-7773. That's 1-877-397-7773. Visit our website, KathleenWhitten.org, KathleenWhitten.org. Thank you.